Blog Talk Radio. Hello. You have tuned in to CCTI, the Christian Council Center, Neighbors for Christ Word Life Center. This is our final unit of the summer of this season. It is Unit 3. It comes to end today. We pray that you will settle all your fees and any course requirements need to be taken care of. We thank you for your diligence in pursuing the Word of God as it relates to your pastoral calling. You have been all placed on speaker, so we ask that you put your phones on mute unless you want to dialogue. This last class will involve you sharing with us your project on religion, the religious entities that you picked. So some were given last week, and the remainder are to be done this week. And so we are in preparation for that. We would like to share with you the information of the rest of the team in your class, for quite a few of them have gone on the pilgrimage to Turkey and Israel, the apostolic prophetic pilgrimage that will go from May 21st through June 5th this year. That presbytery team left last evening. They have arrived. They are well. They are being in rest now. It's an 8-hour time difference. They're 8 hours ahead of us. And so we have time to now prepare to follow them on Facebook or on YouTube. And that information was sent out to you. If you require it, some more of that information, just text me at 630-701-4303, and I can get that information out to you. That Facebook is pretty straightforward, www.facebook.com/apostle.dr.shawnette.a.auden, and you can follow them on Facebook as well as on YouTube. Thank you so much for your contributions, your support, and your prayers. Continue to pray for the team, for the revelation that God would deliver to them, and the reviving and renewal of those delegates so that when they come back, they can share it with us. So we thank you for your patience, and as a result, your class time will be shortened just a bit as we just focus today on those projects that were due last week at the Chicago Theological Seminary, an awesome time of sharing, of enlightenment, of information, and demonstration. A great time of sharing and of gathering material information. And so we would like to see who's on the line, that you are prepared now to give your project to us. The lines are open. You can just, we have last four digits of the phone number, 0431. If you are prepared or have need to give your presentation now, you may do so. You are live and on the air. Take your phone off of mute. We will take up an assessment on who's on the line that have yet to give their project. Take your phone off mute and tell me who's on the line.
Overseer, this is Pastor T, but I've already presented.
Yes, ma'am. Okay.
All right.
Pastor. All right. Who else do we have on the line? We have Pastor T.
Elder
Parker.
Parker, okay.
Yes, ma'am. Okay. I didn't mind last week, but I could go again.
Okay, hold on. Let's see who else is on the line.
Elder Yvette, I presented last week as well.
Okay.
Dr. Dorothy presented last week.
Amen. I know that we have Kika on the line. She is at work. She's on the line and not prepared this week. So, honestly, ladies and gentlemen, on the line, it seems to be everybody. Yeah. So unless you ladies have some and gentlemen have something else you would like to discuss, because it was an awesome time last week. What were some of your insights from that gathering last week? Not just the physical location, but actually the information that you received from other people, as well as your experience in gathering that information.
This is Elder Yvette, and what I gathered from it is that it was a little eye-opening to me to see that many of the religious read from the same book, the Bible I'm speaking of, but yet the interpretation is different. They're getting different interpretations, and also the ignorance that we have of the different religions and beliefs that I think is key that we do kind of know, since we do need to come together in unity.
Okay, and as you were sharing that, two things came to my mind, and this is open to everybody on the line. But we know we should come together. What do you think hinders us coming together? Anybody?
Lack of understanding each other.
Okay, lack of understanding. Amen. Anybody else? I know as I was listening to the different presentations and the source, as Elder Yvette brought up, the fact that they use the Bible, the source of theirs, or the fact of the lack, well, I won't say the lack of, but the source other than the Bible source, I kept having the thoughts come into my mind that, well, how did they get to where they are? How did they get so far from where I am? And so it caused me to try to evaluate where I was or even question where I am. And how is it that even within those denominations that are so closely tied to the Word of God, why are we so divided and so unwilling to come together?
Okay, this is Elder Yvette again.
I don't
all of the answers to that, but I think one part of it may be the ignorance, in a sense that it could have been the way that it has brought down, I think, that possibly tradition, in the teachings, the way it has come down. Some people took what was said as opposed to reading and seeking God for understanding, revelation of a matter, because there are some things that I have heard through the years, and in researching it and looking at it and praying about it, I came into the understanding and the knowledge that the way what they were telling me, that was not correct interpretation of what was actually being said in the Bible. So that, to me, that may be one reason why the way that it has been passed down, and I said in tradition, And I say that, too, because a lot of times I hear people say things, and it's really not biblically based, or what they use and the way they explain it is not, it's not correct.
Amen. And I hear the two saying, you know, the lack of understanding, the lack of knowledge, ignorance on the part, tradition, and what's echoing in my thoughts is the fact that it's based on even going back to the beginning in the New Testament. There were documents that they lived by that they had lost, as Scripture says, they had the letter, but they didn't have the spirit of it. And that spirit of it is the relationship with the source of all of these commandments, all of these statements of faith, all of these doctrines, and the source being the living God, and having that relationship, I think, as Elder Yvette had mentioned, is what brings us to a point of, no, that I don't think that's correct. And then when we get there, you know, what do we do going forward as this mandate is on this this ministry, the CCTI and AEN, for this coming together ecumenically? How is our mindset to change and to shift so that we can be embraces without being abrasive, and we can include without excluding? You know, and it is a precarious place that we can only stand if we're standing in Christ, because he is all things to all men. He's all, everything that man needs, and it is he and he alone that can show us and lead us into, you know, how we should respond to one another, even as we share, you know, the thoughts and the beliefs that we have. Anyone else? It's open dialogue.
Brother Parker.
Yes.
You know, Overseer, you made mention of a very important, I would say, substance ingredients, and it's the Holy Spirit. That gives us that quickening, that enlightens us. And just like we have to have it to love one another. It's you know, very important, and you know that. And we, matter of fact, because of the four topics I had to deal with, I began to look at it and said, you know, what is there to really quicken them inside when they're doing certain things? Just as once we have been born again, we have the Spirit. Once we receive that Spirit, it'll make us aware. It's like constantly writing this thing on the chalkboards, you know, of our mind, you know, saying, hey, you're willing to sacrifice. You're a new creature now. And if you're going to pick up your cross and carry it, then that means you. I have to think. I have to have that renewed mind. I have to think like Christ. Is it easy? No. We read what they all went through, but then yet then again, we having to apply, make that applicable to us. That Spirit makes a difference in whatever we involve in life. And so if the Spirit's not there to really quicken our heart and give us that understanding, I mean, how can we really stand behind something just because others do? It has to be a reality in one's life. It has to be a personal experience, not just the feeling, but adorning that thing every day, being molded shape. We have to die to self. We have to, the things we have to do. This is personal, and so to not be aware, to not have the love that we often profess, but I have to possess. I have to allow that love to be seen, to be felt, to be shown. I can't say this, and I don't have that to put it back up. So I think it's just the Spirit of God.
Amen. Amen. Pastor T? Pastor Dresser?
I'm on mute. Well, I think that in all of our discussions, we are still coming from a place of evangelism, and we're still coming from a place of trying to convince people to be like ourselves. And the concept of ecumenicalism is to see people and embrace people as they are, to walk together, allowing others to believe as they do. And I think that we are very, of course, steeped in our belief based on what Christ has told us. But that's not what ecumenicalism is. So one of the examples, one of the things that I thought of and had been thinking over the course of the class was, and actually I didn't know how to convey it, but I was given a clue of how to convey it last Monday night, was when the discussion came about being a cradle Catholic. So you have those of us who have been, for the most part, cradle whatever we are. And so we've been steeped in what we've been taught, you know, we've been steeped and taught in what we believe. They have been too. So when we try to evangelize them, it would be the same as them trying to evangelize us. From what they have been taught since they were born or a child, or our Islamic sister has been in Islam for 40 years, their approach is the same as ours. So ecumenicalism is not about who's right and who's wrong, because if I'm right, you have to be wrong. I know you're wrong because I am right. That's not what ecumenicalism is. Ecumenicalism is finding common ground with our brothers of different faith and walking with them and accepting them and being able to find that which is common among us. And as I said, when we gave our presentation, our group worked together in the quest for what was common among us. And in that search, we found what was common among us, Catholics and Muslims and Christians of our ilk believe in one God, believe that he is greater than ourselves. So you have to find common ground. And I think we have a great deal of difficulty doing that. My guests came and were very excited to come. We had spent a lot of time together. And a lot of the time, I think because of our perspective, we ask them to defend what they believe, and that's not what they were there for.
Uh-huh.
When we question their practices, we have to understand that they're in a position to do the same to us. So from birth, because I'm a Christian and I have experienced many aspects and facets of Christianity, my life is grounded in Christ. And I know that from birth. They're in the same position. So I just when I look at it that way, that which I experienced from us as Christians for another faith is not what I experienced from those members of my group who were not of my ilk. They were receptive and open and curious and accepting. And I didn't get that from, you know, those who practice as I do.
Dr. Dorsey?
Yes.
Your perspective?
My perspective is a lot is based upon the founder or founders of a particular religious belief, their attitude and their disposition. Well, my thoughts are better than yours, and my gift is greater than yours.
Man. Like Elden. Yes, Elden. Yes. Go ahead.
Okay. And another thing is, to me, what I saw in there, how you say ecumenical for us to come together, and I think it was Dr. Parker who said, too, with the Holy Spirit, because in God, it is supposed to be addition or multiplication, which in what that's what we would want with ecumenical, coming together, adding, multiplying, and without that, I think some of that the enemy gets in, and what he does is causes division and subtraction. So in some of that, what I saw was some kind of rebellion. In the fact, too, where, in a sense, where you saw, mine is not like this, how you said that Pastor Tressa said, well, mine is right and this one is wrong, as well as some of them went off and branched off. They were divided by color. When I listened to, I believe, the one for the Rastafarian, some of the others, I think that division has come in, and like I said, to some I saw some rebellion. In other words, it's like, well, we're even the one I did, the AME, in a sense, we're branching off because we're treated differently in the Methodist, so we're going to separate out and start our own, but we're not going to be together with them. We're going to serve, but we're going to do it differently, since we're not really accepted totally with the other group.
Okay, I didn't want to, I'm sorry for the silence, but I want us to continue the dialogue. So what do you think is our mandate now, going forward? We've had this class, we've done this study, we've done our presentations, we've received and we've heard others and their walk. So what would be our mandate going forward?
Well, definitely love has to be increased. I would say hospitality in that sense and coming together, because there are things that the way that you do it can make a person more open and receptive to receive, and definitely not pushy or can't think of the word I want to use now. Oh, defensive. Definitely not that
way.
Okay. Love and hospitality.
Okay. Amen. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
It almost appears, and I love it because I believe it's a part of what the vision is that the apostle has, but it's almost a point of, it's not our coming together, is not about what we believe, but what we need. And so I think that's what would motivate us to be more inclusive if we understand that commonality of our belief in Christ, but what is the commonality of what we need? And it's coming together in our various walks to accomplish a specific need. And I think that's part of what the AEN is established to do, in that the topics and things are global, they're universal. There are needs that no matter who you are, what you believe, or where you're walking in, you need to know. You need to know what the laws are. You need to know certain structure of things. And they're not so much denomination as it is administration in order to accomplish a task. And so building a good structure, no matter what name is on the outside of the structure. I think of Bethany Union Church, where we worship, and it is a, I'm not sure what Bethany Union means, but it is it is of one faith, but there's at least 10 other denominations that worship there. And yet, even under one roof, we are still not united. And so you can even see the different things on the walls of different, you know, events that are coming up, and yet there's not a cross, we don't seem to cross our lines, you know, even though we're all in one building. And at the same time, basically, over a period of a week, and yet there still is not a union, if you will, in it, even though we're under one roof. Insights, comments?
There's Brother Parker again.
Yes.
Responding to what you were saying, you know, being, all of us being under one roof, and yet we still can't come together, maybe I think when things begin to not as in my life, like I should, I began to look at me and, you know, with what God has done. He's given you something that I've never had before, and if I am really going to abide by his word, then I have to walk in it. And I just have to allow God to make me who he wants me to be in the spiritual realm, but at the same token, in order for me to reach out to hear the need of those that are out there, I have to pretty much make room within myself. I can't withdraw. I got to get out there where it's at. I have to put it aside. He wasn't, Christ wasn't accepted by everybody, and so are we. But at the same time, those who he came across, they knew that they came across a man that was different. And so when we present, what do we say, our clothes of righteousness, the way Christ is clothing us to walk in, and even Christians sometimes see the difference. And just like we always say, iron sharpens iron. And who's to say by our manner of life that we can't change your life and make them wonder? Society, we are against society with all the negatives. But at the same token, we are on a journey for Christ. He called me on this journey. I wouldn't go, but he called me, and since he has called me, I just have to make myself accessible, so that I can get out there and do what I have to do. So it's me and from the beginning. I'm not a denomination, you know. I'm a spirit now, and so I have to look at society through the eyes of God. Is it easy? No. But it's worth it. And plus, we are being prepared for it. and we express it not exterior but interior with the Spirit, plus the knowledge. So who's stopping us? Nobody. It can be done.
Absolutely, absolutely. So, though this is a last class with this viewpoint, I'm sure that each one of in the sessions to come will build upon those of this foundation. I think from this that we need to go forth with a prayer focus, with a commitment for change in what we do as individuals. I became very, sometimes we just need to be made aware of, and this has brought an awareness for me personally. And I like I say, I think of the situation at Bethany Union, and we had a common need, and that was a place of worship. And so we came together under one roof because of that need, even though we may have had different beliefs, and yet we have basically one common belief, but we do it in very, very different vineyards as to the variety of individuals that utilize that facility. And yet on so many occasions, there are very, very interesting things going on. And you, like I say, they post them and you read them, and you see the post, and I know we post it and we read them. We put ours out there. We put it on the table, and the table is full of all of this stuff. But nothing is really like a personal invitation. And so you can read a flyer, you can get a flyer, but I don't know really how inviting that really is. And I'm just speaking of myself, and I think about, oh, that would really, really be nice. But I believe that when the pastor actually, because you've seen people, different ones, walking through the halls, going to the places they go to do the things they're doing, but when they actually take the time to greet you in more than a good morning, I mean, they all are very pleasant, and it's not that, but going beyond that pleasantness into a reaching for relationship. Not that you were trying to establish a friendship or anything like that, but just a relationship, because we're all one in Christ. And so to have that personal invitation, that personal touch, that personal connection, I think is going to be what I am going to commit to doing in going forth. They're having a youth from other countries coming in. They do a lot of things there from in a lot of the different ministries. And just even being available to share that information with people on a personal level to get us to then become in unity and in ministry together as the body of Christ. So what is going to be your commitment? Elder, you're back.
I'm sorry, my daughter was asking something. I didn't hear you.
Okay. I mean, because of this class, what's going to be different? You know, what are you going to look at differently? What are you going to do differently? How are you going to think differently because of this unit?
Well, again, I would say, I guess I would be more open. Not necessarily doctrine, I guess I would say, in a sense, but more open and prayerful in the sense for truth and unity, for us to come together, because I am a believer in one mankind, and for it to be one mankind, that means all kinds of people coming together and to realize that we are the same in the sense that we all have the red blood, we all have the same organs.
I think that's true.
If parents want their child to grow up and do well, you would love for your family to be okay, to be treated respectfully, you know, that type of thing. So in a sense, I see a universal connection in that. And again, when I say love and hospitality, because even in people speaking different languages, sometimes you may not even be able to understand everything that they say, or they not you, but there are certain gestures or body languages, as I might say, that are suggestive of you being more open, approachable, willing to try to work together with them, or and even to help.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Pastor T.
I think that I would be like Elder Parker and always commit to an examination of myself. Do my beliefs make me haughty before other men who are different than myself? Does it cause me to judge others? One of the things that Angela Ali had shared with us in one of our meetings that I wish she had shared Monday night was that in the Quran it says that whether you are Christian, Jewish, or Muslim, God will judge you on how you lived out what you said you believe. So whoever you are, however you believe, he's going to judge you on how you said you believe. And the primary, basic, foundational tenet of Christianity is that we love God first, and then we love our neighbors as ourselves. So that's my going forward. I want to make sure that as I observe people in the demonstration of their faith, that I'm not judgmental and I approach them in love.
Amen.
To me, it will be important to continue to focus on the Word of God. In the book of Genesis, when God created us in his own image and his likeness, and in creating us, there is no two fingerprints that are the same. But we all have one commonality. If our heart stops beating, it's over. I will continue to concentrate on God's creation as it is and heartstrings of my life because when it comes down to judgment, that's what we're going to be judged on, our heart.
Amen.
Okay. So if everybody had a time to share, we can give announcements of the upcoming events. We encourage you, ladies and gentlemen, to be a part of. Continue to hold the presbytery up in prayer as they visit the Greek island of Patmos, the seven churches of Revelation in Asia Minor, and Mount Carmel in Israel. And so this brings to a close Unit 3 for Pastoral Studies. Enjoy your vacation. It runs to approximately July 9th, which is a nice period of time. There's a lot of things going on in ministry opportunities. The Ladies for Christ Church anniversary, 20th anniversary, Step of Faith doing their 18th year of Women in Clergy. We have a lot of events coming up for the AEN, and so you do want to keep watch on your ministry opportunities sent to you by Minister Sherita. Our church our ministry in Las Vegas will launch their church there. Highways and Hedges is launching a church on June the 4th, Pentecost Sunday. That church will open its doors after 7 or so years of ministry in the prison, in preparation, and in touching lives. And once those lives are released, they have been pursuing them for continued spiritual education and insight and spiritual inspiration and growth. And as a result of that need, they have been blessed with a location that is going to be free to them. And God is just doing exceedingly abundantly more than we could ever ask, think, or hope for, according to the faith that worketh in us. And so we want to keep that ministry up and clear. They have released 2 books since they've been gone, and we want to make sure that we support their publishing portion of their ministry. And you can get their books by going to Amazon and typing in their names, and you can find their books. And so we do just want to encourage you to be a part of the support and contributing, partnering with CCTI, AEN, LSB Ministries, for all of the ministry opportunities that are available. And so if there's none else and none other, we did have another individual come online. If they would like to share, they can do so at this time. Is that Elder?
Good evening, Overseer. No, I don't have anything to contribute. I was just tuning in.
Amen, amen. Thank you, thank you. She was present at your presentation and was privy to some of the insights and revelation that everyone presented there at the Chicago Theological Seminary. And so we want to be encouraged to continue our spiritual growth and development, continue seeking the Lord, continue our education and our studying in the Word of God and allowing it to transform our thinking. And so until next quarter, fourth quarter, when a part of your pastoral study facilitating staff will be Elder Deborah Wilson, as she will be presenting to you your class on grief counseling. On grief counseling. Did you want to give them kind of a little preview I'm putting her on the spot right now, but if
you,
you
have certainly are. You certainly are.
I'm not frozen.
The only thing that say to that, as opposed to grief counseling, would be dealing with grief and loss. It's not a counseling course per se, and just like to look at some things that I think would be some resources and some tools that would help those in the pastorate, even within the church or in the marketplace or parachurch ministries along the areas of loss, not only death, but sickness and foreclosure, divorce, those types of things.
Amen. Amen. So she has brought clarity and insight as to the scope of that class. And I can tell you it's not going to be traditional. So we do thank the Lord for the anointing that's in the house. And remember, let Apostle know if you have any questions or comments, because in order to perfect the ministry, we need feedback for those that are a part of the ministry. And we encourage that feedback. And so you can send a note or so to the CCTI email address at ccti.lamad@gmail.com with your comments, your concerns, your insights, and your inspiration. And it will definitely be received and used. Amen? So you're free to roam the country without Monday class, at least until July 9th. So do enjoy the beginning of the summer, summer vacation, school's out. Let's pray for our young people and definitely pray for the presbytery that is in the Holy Land. Praise the Lord and good night.
Amen. Good night.
Amen. Good night.
Good night.
Good night. Good night. Good night.